The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt still here, voice impaired. Bleeding out after the Browns lost on the last play of the game last night. But I have got about 60 booster shots on Browns immunity over the years, so I am able to rise up from my sports deathbed and come back. That is a tough way to lose. Mr. Mullins, who we'll never see again, the third-team quarterback. And one-third of the Browns gone. They still gave the Raiders a game. And they're not out of it. They can still win the AFC North. So we press on. Go Browns. Okay, the number one story is not actually the number one story. It's just the number one overlooked story yesterday. It ought to have led, for all those people who tell you they care about people getting vaccines and boosters, they ought to have led with this cut number 10.
Both the president and I are vaxxed. And did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
See, a couple of people started to boo former President Trump when he said he had the booster. And if people really wanted people to get the booster, they would put out every influencer out there who gets the booster. And so Bill O'Reilly, not so much of an influencer anymore, but Donald Trump, enormously influential, got the booster. What's that tell you? Go get the booster. All right? Now, he got a little bit of booze, right? So even in a very pro-Trump crowd, there's 5% who don't believe in the booster, and they're not going to over, you know, once you get them in context, you realize that Trump supporters got the booster too. Now, the big story of the day is Omicron. Omicron now accounts for 73% of COVID cases in the United States. That was quick. That means by the end of this week, it'll account for 95%, and then by the end of the following week, it'll all be Omicron. It's now the dominant strain, according to the CDC, as put out by CNN last night. The National Hockey League has stopped the schedule, which is what the NFL ought to have done, but NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is not really going to ever win the spelling bee for anything. And according to the Wall Street Journal, America's response to the Omicron variant comes down to geography. People in the South, where it's not particularly dominant, are going about their business. Cancellations are increasing in the Northeast and the Midwest. The good news is that European stocks bounced back big today after they have assessed that the Omicron is going to be a 1 to 2 week shutdown across the world, not like the first COVID or the Delta. It's just not that serious. It's going to make, if you're vaccinated, it's very serious if you're not vaccinated. You can still go get vaccinated. It's more serious if you don't have a booster. It's really not going to be a problem. These are vast generalities that apply to 90% plus people. If you've got a booster and you get it, you're going to have a mild illness. Not going to be that bad. And the most important story of the day comes from the British Telegraph. Cabinet meeting yesterday. Boris overseeing his cabinet. Most cabinet ministers stood up, this is a quote from the Telegraph, against further attempts by Boris Johnson to impose more restrictions on people's movements this Christmas due to spiraling COVID cases because they wanted more data. The Omicron variant did not justify throwing people's festivities plans into chaos. Now, I think this is a turning point for the free world, and I really mean that, because the cabinet revolted against Boris Johnson. They said, stop, put out the data. Free people need the data. And then give us clarity where you don't know. For example, the CDC refuses to say they don't know when kids should get a vaccination when they've had COVID. So they don't even tell you they don't know. They just hide the ball because they're incompetent bureaucrats. If you give free people the data, they will make the right choices. Now, I use my own family, which has got complicated holiday plans. So yesterday, one part of the family canceled a trip to the West Coast because that part of the family has a member of the military who can't get the virus. I mean, it won't kill the person. They're vaccinated and they're vaxxed. But it will throw their schedule at a specialized school into chaos. So they are not going into isolation, but reducing unnecessary exposure. Another part of the family is staying away, didn't watch the Browns game with me last night for the same reason. Can infect a military facility. Third part of the family, maybe not going to be able to drive to the in-laws because one of them has COVID. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I are simply lowering the exposure so that we can get to California on the day after Christmas. Well, you know, these are free people making smart decisions based on we don't want to be inconvenienced. We're all, by the way, vaccinated, and most of us have got a booster, except the kids who've had COVID, and no one will tell us when they should get a vaccination because the CDC is an incompetent group of bureaucrats. Nobody can make the decisions for everybody. And the CDC has proved itself time and time again to be incompetent and less than truthful. Therefore, they have no credibility. Therefore, you've just got to make up your own mind, and bravo to the British cabinet. Now, more restrictions are coming in the Northeast where it's worse than in the South. I mentioned that. European leaders are weighing much tougher measures as the Omicron surge threatens their healthcare system. Now, that's not happened yet in the United States. We have plenty of capacity in the United States. Some of these European systems, you know, socialized medicine is not exactly going to be the Mayo Clinic when you walk in. Is it a sniffle or is it a cold or is it a COVID? Due to the fact that we've only had 2 years and Joe Biden's been in charge for the last one, we don't have enough testing centers around, so people can't figure it out. I've got a bad upper respiratory illness. I do not have COVID. I got tested. And so you got to get tested when you get something like this so you know, and you don't want to be around people, period. I don't want to give them a cold either or an upper GI. And so you just stay home. But experts note that teens are, once again, they're spiraling. Lots of evidence that teens are just in the worst place ever because their schools are closing. Don't close the schools, you knuckleheaded school boards and school administrators. You're paid to do one job. Fire every school board that closes a school right now. New York Police Department officers are told to mask up again. Okay. The Broadway production of Hamilton has canceled all performances this week. Okay. Oh, by the way, great news. The U.S. missionaries that were kidnapped in Haiti, they broke out. They got away for free. They managed to zip out on their captors who couldn't have been winning the spelling bee either. And bravo, thank you for praying for them. Thank you for doing all that you could to get them out. That's a movie. I can't wait to read that book. Governor-elect Youngkin has appointed a great education secretary, Amy Rogstad Gidera. And she ran a data company on what works in education and what doesn't work. So with one appointment, Glenn Youngkin has said, we are going to run the schools by the data. We're going to do what works for the most people, and we're going to test. We're not going to be like Harvard and get rid of the... You know what Harvard did when they got rid of the SATs and the ACTs? They just gave their Department of Admissions more power and a bureaucrat's dream. More power, a lease on life. Joe Manchin has been pushing back against the morons who've been hitting him. I'll play most of that interview that he gave in West Virginia yesterday. Good for you, Joe Manchin. Democrats do not know how to woo. All they know is know how to abuse. It's a sign of what will happen when they get power. They will abuse you like they're abusing Joe Manchin. EPA announced a 55-mile-a-gallon fuel efficiency standard for 2026, which means I'll be buying my last car in 2025. That's what that means. The Queen has canceled her Christmas public celebration because, you know, she's, what, 98? She's being smart. The U.S. and Britain are helping Ukraine prepare for a cyber assault. That's a very good news. And then in the New York Times is a story I wish everyone would read. Buying influence, how China manipulates Facebook and Twitter. The chances, I've known this for a long time because I got friends in the business. Flood global social media with fake accounts used to advance an authoritarian agenda. Make them look real and grow their numbers of followers. Seek out online critics of the state. Find out who they are and where they live and harass them. That's the playbook for China. It's a long article, but they build these vast networks. And just because someone says they're Sally Mae from Oklahoma City, and they've lived there for 17 years, and they have two children, and they like your show, but they think you should go easier on China, that means they're a Chinese bot. Or a Chinese... I mean, it's all anonymous. They lie. They're communists. Please understand that the Russians are like the brute bears and the Chinese are very good at this. And this article, the New York Times, it's by Muajayo, Paul Mazar, and Gray Beltran. You ought to read it. Because most of what you see, if not most, a lot of what you see, if you are actually an influencer and you've got 1,000 or more followers, the Chinese are messing with you. And pay no attention to the comments. Never pay attention to the comments, but pay attention to this. Come right back to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
No. That's all. There's a very tiny group over there.
That's President Donald Trump telling people he got the booster. That should have been on every newscast last night. David M. Drucker joins me from the Washington Examiner. You see him on the networks. His book, In Trump's Shadow, flying off shelves and through Amazon delivery trucks around the country as people look for the perfect Christmas gifts. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm great, Hugh. How's it going?
What do you make of the Democrats' charm offensive to persuade Joe Manchin to change his mind?
Well, I mean, that's one way to do it. Look, you know, I think this is what happens, number one, when you don't take your opponent seriously and you approach your opponent from your point of view and not his point of view. This happens all the time in Washington. Both parties make this mistake from time to time. But I think, you know, for Democrats, what they... Look, I've always believed, and this is not a commentary on the policy elements in the Build Back Better proposal. I'll leave that to you. But it is a very ambitiously liberal proposal. And when you only have a 50-seat majority, that's only a majority because you have the tiebreaker. There's nothing illegitimate about it. But the point is, it's not a big enough majority for something that's that ambitiously partisan. Maybe it'll be the greatest thing ever, and just like Obamacare 10 years from now, people would love it. But, I mean, Democrats could hardly pass Obamacare with a 60-seat Senate majority that was filibuster-proof. This was a heavy lift, 5-seat majority in the House, and I don't think Democrats in Congress took that into account. The president certainly did not. And, you know, to top it all off, voters, and look, you know, Democrats can blame anybody they want here, but voters do not believe that this bill was going to tackle the most important priorities they had. So even though elements of the bill polled well, like, yeah, I like that, that sounds like a good idea, you know, what you need to do to get these things done is tackle the priorities voters have in the moment, the most important. Again, I go back to Obamacare. People thought health care reform was a good idea, but back then they were coming out of the Great Recession and they wanted jobs and the economy focused on. Here it was inflation and all of the issues related to the economy and COVID, and they didn't think this bill was doing that, and this is why they ended up where they are.
Now, David, I want to pause for a moment and get your thoughts on Mitch McConnell, Rob Portman, and Susan Collins, because Leader McConnell took a deep breath and said, we will pass hard infrastructure because I know Joe Manchin, I know what he needs. Rob Portman and Susan Collins did the heavy work of coming up with the hard infrastructure bill. I would have voted for it. Some of my friends did not vote for it. President Trump beat me up a little bit about that. I think he's wrong. It was a lot more than 11%. But to Mitch McConnell and Rob Portman and Susan Collins and the rest of them, all the praise. It worked.
It did work. And look, I mean, I thought it was a good idea at the time because by being willing to give a little and allow your opponents to have a shared victory on one front, they were able to fight much smarter and more effectively on another front. Not only did it keep Joe Manchin from concluding that the Republicans were so unreasonable that the only way to get anything done was to go it alone with his party, but it also created space for the Democrats to have their own very public internal fight. And if Republicans had not participated in the infrastructure bill and allowed it to happen, if, in fact, I will go further, if they had played really tough hardball on the debt limit and we were in a debt limit standoff risking default where all of the focus was on that fight and that bipartisan fight of two parties going at it against each other, there wouldn't have been all of this attention on the reconciliation package, and there wouldn't have been the spotlight on the internal Democratic machinations because we'd all be consumed by this other larger thing. So I think both things were smart political moves, even though, look, a lot of Republicans obviously didn't vote for it, didn't like it. But from a tactical perspective, it was a smart play, and it worked.
Now, last question, David Drucker. From the beginning, I thought Joe Manchin was very easy to understand. The reconciliation was $3.5 trillion. $2 trillion of that, negative, red ink, $3.5 trillion. $2 trillion of that went out the door on hard infrastructure. So he kept saying $1.5 trillion over 10 years, no gimmicks. So, you know, he might have been able to get up to 1.75. It was, you know, what he kept saying is, you figure it out. What do you want? What do you want? There's some things I don't want, but there's something, whatever else you want. And they would never take yes for an answer, David. It's astonishing. They just wouldn't take what was on the table.
Well, I think, politicians are human, and I think that they figure there are more of us than there are of you, and you should compromise with us. We shouldn't compromise with you. And by the way, I don't blame them for the sentiment. I just think that as the months went on and Joe Manchin, and we're not even talking about Kyrsten Sinema, but she's a part of this, became clear they weren't going to budge, then I think Democrats needed to make a decision about what they wanted to do. And the decision they made did not work. And I think they should have bit the bullet and produced what he wanted. Now, look, this thing may end up reviving itself in the new year along the lines that they've asked for. But for now, they're in a box.
I'll tell you what, they have never settled a case. I spent an hour and a half with a fellow trying to settle a difficulty at a homeowners association. And first, you've got to understand both sides before you settle. And the left never tried to understand Joe Manchin, and now they're beating up on him. What a bunch of dummies. David M. Drucker is no dummy. Follow him at David M. Drucker on Twitter. Go get his book, In Trump's Shadow. Come back for hour two of today's Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you haven't seen it, gold is going up. Why? Because inflation is going up. It's at 1808 when I begin putting this ad together. And I want you to know that Birch Gold is the company that you turn to if you want to buy gold. Just text Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 989898. That's Hugh to 989898 to roll over a portion of your IRA into precious metals. A week ago Monday, the tax court ruled that you can't do a gold or precious metals IRA from home. They will come in and tax you. You need Birch Gold if you're going to do that. You can go to Hugh Gold, or you can just text my name, Hugh, to 989898. Because right now, inflation is knocking at the door of the world. And that's when you want to be in precious metals. That's when you want 5 to 10% of your retirement with Birch Gold. HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 989898. That's Birch Gold via Hugh, texted to 989898. Thank you.
Glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt. I am sick, but I am here. I haven't got COVID. I've got CapeVid. My granddaughter, Kate, brought this up on Thanksgiving and gave it to the fetching Mrs. Hewitt and gave it to me. But I'm here, and I am wounded, but I am not slain by the Browns losing on the last play of the game. I've got like 60 booster shots of Browns immunity after all these years, so I can take it. Browns can still win the AFC North. I'm joined by Byron York of the Washington Examiner. Of course, you see him on Fox News. You got the scoop on Twitter this morning. And if you're not following Byron on Twitter, you're missing a lot of news. And if you're not getting his newsletter, you're missing a lot of news. He's got excerpts of the president's speech. Good morning, Byron. First of all, tell us, what do you think is news in the president's plan?
I don't think there is a lot of news. I think
that, I agree.
He's going to try to get a lot more tests into the hands of Americans starting next month. And, of course, people are waiting in line, certainly in cities, right now, and they're worried about the spread right now. He says things like he's going to mobilize an additional 1,000 troops to deploy to COVID-burdened hospitals. Okay, how's that going to work? Is that going to do anything? He's going to increase hospital capacity. Now, if the Omicron thing turns out to be like a worst-case scenario, that could be helpful if hospitals are, in fact, overwhelmed. But the striking thing about Biden's response to COVID the entire time, the whole time he's been president, is that he hasn't really been able to get a handle on this. When he said that he was the experienced professional who could get a handle on it. So I think this is more of the same.
Now, Byron, this morning I began the show by pointing to the Telegraph, excuse me, which has a story front page. The British cabinet rebelled against Boris Johnson, and they said no more restrictions. There's not enough data. And Boris backed down. And I think this is a turning point because people have had it with public health officials making pronouncements that are not backed up by data. They don't know. And what they ought to do is just give us the data. And my family's a perfect microcosm. You know, there are like 8 working parts, and everybody's making adjustments based upon their individual health profiles and their immediate futures. One of them can't miss school in a military school. They can't. So they're going to be very careful about not getting rolled back. Another of them has already been, has the new COVID, and it's going to be fine, and we'll be able to travel. We want to go to California, so we don't want to get sick, so we're lowering our profile. There's no way to tell 330 million Americans what to do.
Yeah, I think you've seen with the advent of Omicron that a lot of officials, including Democratic officials, are saying things like, we can't go back to lockdowns, we can't shut everything down. And indeed, Jen Psaki was asked about the yesterday about the Biden plan that will be announced today, and she said this is not about shutting the country down. So I do think that with the exception of this most ardent group that I think is mostly among white progressives, the people who are the farthest leftward in the Democratic Party. With the exception of them, I think most people say shutting down the country for the COVID crisis did not work. It was counterproductive. It had more negative effects than positive effects. And even though the virus is still here, we have to deal with it in a different way. So I don't think there's a consensus at all for any new lockdown measures.
I also think, I don't know if he would ever do this, but if I were Ron Klain and I was advising the president, I would write a line for him. I want to thank Dr. Fauci for his long service. He's going to stay in our world. But let's just be frank. There's a lot of Fauci fatigue out there, and it's not because Tony's done anything wrong. It's because people get tired of hearing the same thing over and over again. So I've asked, and Tony's agreed to step aside, and my new spokesperson on this is going to be X, Y, and Z. And let me begin by answering the question that CDC, because this is making me crazy, Byron. My 3 grandchildren have had COVID, and their mother wants to get them vaccinated but does not know when they can get vaccinated. You try and find the answer to that. There is no answer. And that's because they don't know. And they won't say they don't know. They have just to come out and say we don't know a bunch of stuff would be refreshing. I am
exactly.
Sick and tired.
You hit the big thing. They won't say they don't know.
Yes.
So they say things that sound definitive, which have the imprimatur of their scientific credentials, but they don't really know. So then it turns out they're not true, and people lose faith in them. And by the way, this is another one of these issues. Anthony Fauci is 81 years old, and he has just vowed to stay in office. I don't know if he has a boss or not, has just vowed to stay in office until the coronavirus is conquered. So how long could that be? It's amazing. He's acting as if he's kind of a power to himself. And I think since he works in the executive branch that he does ultimately have a boss who could change his mind on that.
Yeah, you know, Secretary Pompeo came on yesterday, and having heard Fauci, said he thinks he's Eisenhower in the middle of World War II, and he's not.
Yes, that's right.
And so the interesting thing about this is the older you get, the more you adopt talk radio's absolute rule number one, frequently wrong, never in doubt. And, you know, that's, you just got to be on the radio, you can't be in doubt. And I laugh about that, and other hosts laugh about that, but he is frequently wrong and never in doubt, and he doesn't know it. And that's the lack of self-awareness. Now, enough of Fauci bashing. Let's go back to the president's speech tonight. If he does what I think he's going to do, not mention Manchin, not discuss the real problems, not answer, it's going to make it worse, Byron. It's going to get worse. What do you think?
Well, the Manchin thing, I think, is the result of a kind of a peculiar delusion among Democrats that's been among Democrats this entire year, which is their ambitions have always outstripped their actual electoral, their political power. And you were talking with David earlier about this. I mean, the problem is they have just a handful majority in the House.
Yep.
And they do not control a majority of seats in the U.S. Senate. They, if they want to pass something on a partisan basis, they have to get all 50 of their guys together. Plus, only then can they go to the vice president to break a tie.
Correct.
And they have had ambitions to pass New Deal-like or Great Society-like legislation. And if you go back and look at the majorities that FDR and LBJ had, and we're talking anywhere from 65 to 80-plus senators, Democratic senators, at a time, there is no way, though they could have passed the legislation with just 50. Actually, there were only 96 senators in the New Deal. There's no way they could have passed that legislation with a 50-50 tie. No,
yeah, they couldn't pass court packing with a supermajority. Byron, let me play for you the big cut from yesterday. Cut number 10, Bill O'Reilly talking to former President Trump.
Both the president and I are vaxxed, and did you get the booster?
Yes.
I got it, too. Okay, so...
And the president rebukes the booze. So, Byron, do you think that the networks led with this? Did you see it anywhere? If they really care about people being influenced by an influencer, everyone would have run this a lot yesterday.
I thought it was a huge news. And by the way, there's more that you didn't play before that, in which Trump says the vaccine is a great thing. It has saved millions and millions of lives. And if you're rejecting the vaccine, you're just playing into their hands. And then that's when O'Reilly asked the follow-up, did you get the booster? So it was the most extensive statement I've ever seen from Trump, at least former President Trump, about the vaccine. And not only should it have been news, you would think that the White House, the Democratic White House, would see a lot of value in former President Trump, the creator of Operation Warp Speed, the creator, essentially, of the vaccine that the White House is trying to get Americans to take, endorsing this. So I'm with you. I don't know why this wasn't really
okay, last minute. What does it tell us about legacy media and the White House that they are not broadcasting this from every roof and on every platform?
Look, it tells you that they're stuck in their ways and that they are victims of just groupthink. And so they cannot adjust to see former President Trump endorsing the vaccine.
I think it means, Byron, that their contempt for Trump trumps their concern for public health. That's what I think it means. That's what I think it means. Byron York on Twitter, at Washington Examiner, get his daily newsletter. He's always got the news first. Go over to Byron York on Twitter, and you would know what I just found out during the break that the president's speaking about tonight. Thank you, Byron. Don't go anywhere. And Merry Christmas. I'll talk to you after Christmas. Don't go anywhere, Americans. Hugh Hewitt.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home, or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no-money-down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Is there still a place for you in the Democratic Party?
Well, I think so. I would like to hope that there's still Democrats that feel like I do. I feel I'm fiscally responsible and socially compassionate. Now, if there's no Democrats like that, then they have to push me wherever they want me.
So I'm joined now on the Hugh Hewitt Show by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
I'm doing well, Hugh. I hope that you're on the mend from your Genghis Khan-inflicted cold.
You know what it's like to have small children. Yeah, you know.
Well, also recovering from last night's loss as well.
Well, you know, I have decided the Senate's still in session, right?
No, we're out.
Oh.
We're for good or bad.
I wanted to have a law passed that the NFL tiebreaker should be most player games lost to COVID. That should be their number one tiebreaker.
Well, you'll have a chance to redeem yourself on Christmas Day by beating Mike Gallagher's Packers. So I know.
Yeah, we can still the Browns can still win the AFC North. That's we just got to win out. So Senator Cotton, I played you Joe Manchin, and I'm just curious: are senators human beings? Because if they are, he's got to be pretty ticked off.
Well, of course they are, and Joe Manchin has every right to be very ticked off. I think if anything, Senator Manchin has shown quite a degree of restraint in dealing with the radical, immoderate, intemperate left in his party, starting with the senior White House staff and going on to his fellow senators and representatives. I mean, Senator Manchin has made clear from the very beginning that he's fine with nothing. I mean, he tried to meet those Democrats halfway. We obviously have disagreements on the substance of what the Democratic Party might have passed. But the attacks on him, in my opinion, have just been beyond the pale. I mean, he's just standing up for what three-quarters of West Virginians wanted to do, and you've got people running around on MSNBC and politicians like Bernie Sanders saying that this is the death of democracy, that a senator reflects the preferences of three-quarters of his voters, and that 51 senators out of 100 in the Senate can stop legislation.
You know, there's a category of one, which is Bernie, and let's talk about the other 99. I actually don't think I quite got the Senate till I went to lunch for the first time in the Senate dining room a few years ago, because there you see all the senators and you people work together for a lot of years. You see each other every day. It's a different workplace. You do not throw bricks at your friends who you see every day unless you don't want to be their friend.
Yeah, Hugh, each senator was elected by the voters of his state to represent them, whether we like them or not, whether we agree with them much or not. And the person who may be your implacable foe one day could be your indispensable ally the next day. You know, I worked last year with Sheldon Whitehouse, of all people, from Rhode Island, to help accelerate disability benefits for persons diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. That's because we both had folks back in Arkansas and Rhode Island who had faced this very deadly disease without the benefits of those accelerated disability payments. Obviously, Sheldon Whitehouse and I haven't worked on much since then, but we have a very good relationship because of that work. Same thing with Ron Wyden and looking out for folks in the timber industry in Oregon and Arkansas. So it's always best not to make these things personal, and I try not to do so. If some of my friends want to start a fight that's personal, I'm more than happy to end it. But Joe Manchin is one of the most agreeable and decent senators in the Senate. And for the left to go so intemperately attacking him, I think really is beyond the pale. And, of course, it's not going to endear him to them.
Now, I don't know. So it's a genuine question. I know that Johnny Isaacson, the late Johnny Isaacson, was much beloved on both sides of the aisle. I get the sense, because Chris Christie told me that Joe Manchin was his big brother governor when he became a governor, that Chris Christie gets along, that Joe Manchin gets along with everyone. Is that a correct sense?
Well, there seem to be a few Democrats these days he doesn't get along with, you.
Yeah.
I have a very good relationship with Joe, and I think all the other Republican senators do as well. And I do think that most Democratic senators understand that, you know, he does a pretty good job of reflecting opinion of West Virginians, which may differ from opinion of Californians or New Yorkers. But you do have a few intemperate Democrats who have made personal attacks on him that I just think are uncalled for. I mean, look, some of this, a lot of this starts with Bernie Sanders, who has the audacity to lecture Joe Manchin about how to be a good Democrat. Let's remember, Bernie Sanders wasn't even a Democrat until 6 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, Senator, I think that Senator Manchin has been very clear throughout, which is after the infrastructure bill passed, he said you get another $1.5 trillion out of me over 10 years, but that's a hard stop. No gimmicks, no 1 year programs that will get extended. $1.5 trillion over 10 years, hard stop. Was I hearing him wrong?
No, not at all, Hugh. And in fact, Joe Manchin, for these last 6 months, has reminded me a little bit of the "Can You Hear Me Now" guy from those cell phone commercials.
Yeah,
he's been saying the exact same thing for 6 months. It's just that Democrats in Congress and down the street in the White House didn't want to hear it, and they kind of assumed that they just stuck their head in the sand and pretended that they didn't need to address his concerns about runaway inflation for working families in West Virginia or record debt. discouraging folks from working or ruining our energy economy by taking away reliable and affordable energy sources, that ultimately he would, of course, just go along. Whereas Joe Manchin said, that's not the kind of man he is, and that's not what West Virginia stock are made of, and that he stood in the same position he's been all along, which, again, he was not my position. My position is that we should have never started down this path, and I hope the bill is dead for good. But Joe Manchin has never really deviated at all from what he said, and he's been very specific about it. I mean, Hugh, we learned 2 months after the fact that he and Chuck Schumer had both signed a memo in July saying exactly what he would support, and Chuck Schumer kept that from his own members, even though he kept saying that they were going to get something two or three times as big as that memo they signed. I mean, Chuck Schumer has a lot of explaining to do to his own members, some of which I think is driven by the fact that he's scared like a little girl of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez running against him in a primary. So he's willing to throw his own members under the bus to do anything to prevent Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from running against him.
She would beat him. And that's why he's worried. She would beat him. Senator, I want to change to a much more serious. I'm not going to ask if Joe Manchin's going to switch parties, because only Joe Manchin knows that. And I hope he does, but we don't know. I do know, though, I got on a plane on Wednesday and flew up to Minnesota and saw an ad, and flew back on Delta, saw ads promoting, when you're a captive person in an airplane, promoting Delta as the official sponsor of the genocide games. Now, they didn't say it that way, but I'm not sure. Delta, who blew off Georgia and criticized Georgia for passing a bill to make elections easy to vote in and hard to cheat in, is sponsoring the genocide games. What do you say to your buddy Mike Pompeo was on yesterday. I want to give you the same at bat. What do you say to these corporations that are spending money on the genocide games?
Well, I'd say that it is a disgrace that Ed Bastian, the CEO of Delta, after condemning the people of Georgia for adopting a very sensible election law, something that made it easier to vote than it is today in New York or Delaware, is now sponsoring, running ads, promoting the genocide games in China. I can assure you, Hugh, I promise you, that does not reflect the opinion of thousands of his employees, the gate agents in Little Rock, the baggage handlers in Northwest Arkansas, the pilots in Minneapolis, the flight attendants out of Salt Lake City, who are probably appalled that their airline continues to promote these games in a communist tyranny that is committing a terrible genocide against its own people, and they're going to have our own athletes held at risk while they are in the Chinese mainland next year. Ed Bastian ought to be ashamed of himself, as should every corporate CEO who is spending money to promote these Olympic games.
I was at the gate when Captain Ryan deplaned for the last time. He flew 6 million miles for Delta. Before that, he was in the military. The gate announcement that was made honoring the captain as he did his walk off did not tell us which branch he was in, probably naval aviator. And in any event, he got up and he said, I really loved working for Delta. He didn't bring up sponsoring the Olympics. I think you're absolutely right. I don't think anybody is going to profit by running ads during these games. I think it's going to be a black mark against them in history.
I agree, Hugh. It's one thing to have a long-time relationship with the IOC and not want to end that relationship, but to continue to run ads and to promote the Olympic Games while China is committing a genocide against its own people, while it's menacing its neighbors, many of whom are our allies, and putting our own athletes at risk is appalling, especially when some corporate CEO like Ed Bastian at Delta was willing to go out and condemn the elected representatives of the people of Georgia for passing a law to make it easier to vote and harder to cheat, yet now he's flacking for the Chinese Communist Party. He ought to be ashamed for it, and frankly, his shareholders ought to hold him accountable.
Last question, Senator. A lot of accountants are pulling their hair out of their head because they were ready for BBB. They knew what was in there. Now it's dead. But there will be another bill next year, another reconciliation, and they've got to try and figure out what to recommend to their client. Of all of the tax provisions the Democrats didn't get this year, which one do you think they are most likely to try and push through next year?
Well, here, amazingly, for a party that claims to be the champion of the working man, the tax provision they're most obsessed about is a tax break for rich millionaire mansion owners in California and New York. I mean, I'm sorry, Hugh, that you're still a denizen of the West Coast, but they want to increase the deduction for state and local taxes. And that was one of the single biggest provisions in the bill that the House passed. Again, amazingly benefiting primarily mansion owners in New York and New Jersey and California. And you've got a handful of senators and congressmen who've said they won't vote for any bill that doesn't include an increase in the state and local tax deduction. So if they pass any bill, I have to assume that it's going to be a massive giveaway for the wealthy.
Yeah, what's interesting, Senator, I got to make clear, I am a resident of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I got to vote for Glenn Youngkin, but I still do own a home that would have benefited from a SALT deduction that's being lived in by my sister-in-law. But I'm a Virginian.
He wants to make it clear for every person listening at the tax authority in California that
that's
he has
right.
no ties to California, he is not a California resident, and he is not going to be subject to California taxes.
I will fight you, California Franchise Tax Board. I've got the receipts because, my God, you know, they do not let you go. It's like super glue. If you get stuck to California, they never let you go, but I've got my receipts. Senator Cotton, Merry Christmas to you. I hope you stay healthy, and I hope the family stays healthy. I'll talk to you in the new year.
Merry Christmas to you, Hugh, and Dwayne, and to the whole Hugh Hewitt family and all your listeners. We're truly blessed to live in this great nation.
We certainly are. Thank you, Senator Cotton. He has the best, you know, he's got little kids. And Christmas is the best when you have little kids. I'm not going to be with my grandkids at Christmas. I got to see them at Thanksgiving. I'm not going to see them at Christmas. And I just want a continuous feed from Santa time. Because when you have children under the age of 9 and they're just having a grand old time. And Santa, you know, I don't want to see the coal. I don't want any live Vita. I've told my grandson, the Artful Dodger, that coal is in the offing. Genghis Kate doesn't listen to advice about Santa. The scholar is studied up. But Genghis Kate doesn't care. And the Artful Dodger is trying to figure out a way around it. Middle children, honest to God. We could do an entire show on middle children. Dwayne, are you a middle child?
Nope, older.
Yeah, I knew it. Adam, are you a middle child? Oh, this Ben's youngest.
You're youngest middle too, children. Right? Explains everything.
It's everything. Birth order is everything. I'm a youngest. That means I'm always right. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be right back. But first, do let me remind you, ReliefFactor.com. Need a Christmas present? Give someone a starter pack, $19.95, and let them experience it for themselves. If they've been complaining all year long, I mean, if you've got one of those in your family and you say, did you try Relief Factor and they didn't try it, then send them that. I also like to recommend The Road to Ohio State for young athletes. That's for young, great athletes. That's about getting recruited. But Relief Factor is for all athletes of all ages. I'm going to make it through this last segment. I promise I am, because it's with Bo Snerdly. Coming up after the break, America, I'm going to rest my voice and come back. This is the book, Rush on the Radio. Download the Salem News Channel during the break if you can, and you can watch me talking to Bo coming up after the break on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.